The year 2009 was deadly for passengers in the Pacific. In Kiribati in July, an inter-island ferry sank, killing 33 of its 35 passengers and crew. Just a month later in Tonga, the Princess Ashika capsized. 74 people died and 54 were rescued. 3 years later, the Rabaul Queen, with hundreds of passengers on board, capsized off Papua New Guinea's northern coast after it was hit by three large waves. In the 4 hours it took to sink in rough seas, a massive rescue effort of 6 merchant vessels, 7 aircraft, 3 helicopters and 7 boats saved 246 people, but at least 140 more drowned. A commission of inquiry said it could not determine the exact number of fatalities because the crew did not compile a manifest, and survivors testified that life jackets were padlocked in a wire cage or were stored in locked cabinets. Kiribati also set up a commission of inquiry after its ferry disaster, then the worst in the nation's history. At the time, the Police Maritime Unit Commander, John Mote, said he believed there was something wrong with the ferry's structure. It was not strong when built, and overloading was also an issue.
The overloading is like, for us, yes, it's a common practice here. It's not only the problem by the owners. Sometimes we put the blame on the passengers because when you try to tell them that that's enough for passengers and cannot take any more passengers, then when the boat is about to untie the ropes and proceed, then they start jumping, it's very difficult to control.
Just a month later, 74 passengers died when Tonga's recently acquired ferry overturned off the capital Nuku'alofa. 54 people were saved, but the incident caused national shock, grief and anger, as the ABC's New Zealand correspondent Kerry Ritchie explained.
Everyone's talking about the state and the age of this ferry. It was built in the early 70s and it had been bought by the government. Now, some politicians are coming out and saying that they've been fighting for the past few weeks to have the ferry pulled from service because it was so unreliable and was clearly unsafe as soon as you looked at it. One of those politicians is Akilisi Pohiva, who is a pro-democracy MP, and I spoke to him a short time ago.
There is frustration. Most people are upset. Most people are angry. People never expected such a shipwreck could happen.
When you looked at the boat, could you see that there were problems with it?
Yes. The condition of the vessel is not good, and the safety requirements needed to be complied with was not complete, but they still allowed the vessel to operate.
How do you know that they knew that it was a bad ferry?
Well, that was the information we received from some of the senior officers in the Marine Department.
Are any of your relatives or friends amongst the missing?
Yes, two of my relatives were lost on this incident.
The findings of Tonga's Royal Commission of Inquiry were scathing of the government, which allowed the vessel to sail even though it knew it was unseaworthy. Attorney General at the time, John Cauchy, says that in the years since, Tonga has tightened up its procurement procedures because the inquiry found that before the Princess Ashika was bought, there was little due diligence and the decision was made by memo.
But now they're required to meet and they're also required to comply with the Tongan constitution, which means that the expenditure has to be voted by the assembly rather than simply agreed to by the cabinet.
That would deal with buying a vessel that was seaworthy. What about the issue of overloading, though? We see it time and time again from the ferries down to banana boats.
It's one of those things that's like the elephant in the room when they're talking about maritime. Everybody pretends that shipping is carried out properly, and nobody really asks the question about why it is that people are overloading vessels. Obviously, they're overloading vessels to keep charging more people the fare and for freight. And there isn't strong enough regulation within the Maritime Service Board to police those regulations properly.
So what's the answer? How do you get more oversight on this very vital aspect of marine safety?
You have to require people and owners to comply. That's the only way I see around it. We're dealing with economies which don't have a lot of funds to put into these vessels. They rely on private money or they rely on grants from donor countries to help them purchase seaworthy vessels. When you go around the Pacific, you see a good number of vessels which wouldn't meet the grade in New Zealand or Australia.
So what's required, political will or the authorities to get tougher?
A bit of both. The political will has to be there, but authorities do need to exercise all of the powers that they undoubtedly have under their maritime legislation.
And just this week, maritime authorities in Vanuatu impounded a landing craft after it was rescued drifting with no engines and 136 people on board, well in excess of its capacity.